You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happening. Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, January the 21st, and the worst loss of the season? What does it mean? This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com. Big day tomorrow for the gamblers in the state of Michigan. A Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, the Pistons lose one on Wednesday night in Atlanta. That's two straight. Brother Brian has the recap for us. I've also got some thoughts on the collapse down the stretch, what this means about Dwayne Casey, the veterans, losing games. We'll do that one more time as we digest another loss by the Pistons, 11 in 14 games right now. And I guess some good news, slight good news later on, about rookie point guard Killian Hayes. A little bit more on that later. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Give Brother Brian a follow on Twitter at @BShook12, and also the Play Michigan Twitter account, @Play_Michigan. Rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes as well. All those good things. That's how we get noticed by all those other Pistons fans out there as we traverse through the rebuild, the great rebuild of or whatever it is, 2021, and the years that follow here with the Detroit Pistons. But our team dropped another one, this one that they definitely should have won. Brother Brian has the details. Take it away.
This is your Pistons game recap.
Taking time off the clock with no pressure out front. Now Trey gets in, lobs it at Capella. Cements the victory.
The Pistons dropped their second in a row in collapsing fashion in Atlanta on Wednesday night to the Hawks. 123-115 in overtime to fall to 3-11. The Pistons blew a 17-point fourth quarter lead to force overtime and then were outscored 17-4 to end the extra frame. Trae Young and the Hawks deserve a lot of credit, but you can't help but feel the Pistons let a very winnable game slip away. Jeremy Grant once again led the Pistons, scoring 32 to go along with 6 rebounds and 5 assists. Blake Griffin, who played 39 minutes, scored 17 points and had 7 boards with 4 dishes, and was joined by an early game hot shooting Wayne Ellington with 16 and Mason Plumlee in double digits, while Plumlee grabbed a team leading 9 rebounds. Derrick Rose had 14 off the bench, a Detroit bench that outscored the Hawks bench 33-4 on the evening. But the Hawks starters were very productive, led down the stretch by Trae Young, who had a double-double, grabbing game highs with 38 points and 10 assists. John Collins and Clint Capella each got in on the double-double parade, Collins with 31 points and 11 boards, and Capella with, get this, 27 points and 26 rebounds, plus he had 5 blocks. Speaking of blocks, rookie Onyeka Okongwu had 3 of those and 6 rebounds in limited time off the bench. The Pistons did not cover the Bet Online plus 4.5 spread, falling to 8-6 on the season against it. The over came in because of overtime. The Pistons welcome Christian Wood back on Friday night as they play host to the Rockets. That game tips at 7:30 on Fox Sports Detroit and 97.1 The Ticket. This has been your Pistons game recap.
Detroit basketball!
Thank you, as always, to Brother Brian. Pistons fall to 3-11. Now 3 losses better, depending on how you're looking at the ledger, than the Washington Wizards, who are 3-8 with their season on hiatus right now. The Minnesota Timberwolves lose a game that they were up against Orlando throughout much of that one, so they are 3-10. Pistons would have risked falling ahead, I guess, of the Timberwolves had they had won that game in Atlanta on Wednesday night. So the Pistons are still the worst team in the NBA with a 214 winning percentage. And with how COVID's going, you know, I don't expect that this season will end up being 72 games for any teams. Most likely, certainly not the Washington Wizards. We'll see how this all kind of goes. But I think these losses get a little bit more important as time goes on. My record is saying there is importance to the Pistons at being the worst team in the NBA this year. We know that the smooth lottery odds have the top three teams in the NBA having the same exact chance at the first pick, second pick, third pick, and fourth pick. However, if you miss out on one of those top four picks and you are the worst team in the NBA, you are the fifth pick after that. So there is always some incentive in being the worst team in the NBA. I'm on record as saying that's what I want for this team this year. And I was realizing it during this game. I still want this team to win some games every now and then. Don't get the long losing streaks. But I thought the win on Saturday, I had enough for this road trip. And I found myself rooting against the Pistons in this game down the stretch of the fourth quarter. And again, we're on Locked On Pistons here. We're not telling you how to be a fan. There's no right way. There's no wrong way to do this. But I'm invested on this team being bad. And since they got a win a few nights ago, I think it's time to keep losing a couple of games. I think Atlanta is a team that, you know, they could lose games to some of those other worst teams in the NBA. So where are you guys at? Are you guys rooting for losses yet? Could you never do that? Will it be later in the season that you root for losses? I don't know. And again, no way of doing this that's the right way. However, personal preference will get you. But however, was disappointed, although maybe a little bit happy with Coach Casey's decisions down the stretch. We'll get right into that. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first, got to tell you guys about rockauto.com. You know that the chain stores, they got different price tiers for the pros than the do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they are reliably low. rockauto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your ride. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, it's those prices at rockauto.com. They are always reliably low, and the same for the pros as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Yes, sir!
When you need fantasy basketball advice, it's important that you have a reliable source. More people trust Josh Lloyd, host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball, than any other fantasy basketball podcast. Subscribe to the number one fantasy basketball podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get your podcast. Now, before we delve into the negative here, I wanted to shower a little bit more praise on the man, Jeremy Grant, 32 points, another career high for him. I think it's his maybe fourth career high of the season, at least his third, 6 rebounds and 5 assists as well. 12 of 22 from the field, 6 of 7 from the stripe. Just another outstanding game from a guy who is outperforming what I thought was a bigger contract than maybe he should have gotten, proving me wrong there. And, wow, just outstanding stuff from Jeremy Grant. If his team was a little bit better, he might be an all-star consideration. As far as the level of play that he is playing, yes, he is an all-star right now, probably borderline so in the Eastern Conference where you got Giannis and Durant and Chris Middleton. Forwards are a little bit clogged up right now in the East, unfortunately, for Jeremy Grant. There's no all-star game this year, but they will name all-stars nonetheless. And Jeremy Grant deserves to be firmly on that snub list. And kudos to him for taking a chance on himself and his career in getting there. Now to the bad. And we've done kind of this similar rant before, but it feels like the thing that jumps off the page, and it's the veterans, right? Blake Griffin played 39 minutes in an overtime game on Wednesday. He should never play over 35. I don't care if it's overtime. That's why you play him under 30 in case you do want to play him the extra 5. Jeremy Grant deserves the 41 minutes. I'm not going to gripe about that. Mason Plumlee falls out in 27 minutes. Got clowned by Clint Capella throughout this one. Wayne Ellington played really well. Maybe he deserves to be in, judging by the night-by-night situation. DeLon Wright fouls out in 25 minutes. So what do they do when Plumlee and Wright go out? Well, of course, they bring in the other two veterans. Jahlil Okafor gets dusted off for overtime, and Derrick Rose during the clutch minutes as well. We know we've talked ad nauseum about Derrick Rose. Brings a lot of good things to the table. takes off some of the things from the table, especially in terms of development and getting us the other guys the ball in last shot situations. But, man, the bad, right? Sadiq Bey, 8 minutes. Sekou Doumbouya, 5 minutes. And not playing really at all in the second half. Just played his one short stint in the first half. And Isaiah Stewart did play 16 minutes, but you just feel like, and I know Svi Mykhailiuk did play a couple of possessions late in the fourth and then also in overtime when the game was pretty much out of reach at that point. I just think that in late game situations, sprinkle in a Svi Mykhailiuk, even a Josh Jackson. I know he's fighting it right now, but sprinkle in some of these, not even the young guys, but like the medium young guys, a Sekou. And again, broken record, but I thought Sekou played pretty well in his 5 minutes in the first half, was very active, had 4 rebounds, seemed to have a little bit more pep in his step. And I understand that Casey wants the consistency, but how do you go out there and play 5 minutes in an NBA game and really develop anything? But meanwhile, we've got Blake Griffin, who's playing at least 5, 6, 7 minutes more than he should on average every night, and 39 minutes in any game at his age this early in the season as he's trying to get back to things. Look, Blake Griffin played really well for the first 3 quarters of this game, one of his strongest games of the season, but then just completely disappeared and was wandering around the court on defense in the fourth quarter. We've seen this basically every fourth quarter. He just wears down throughout the game. He's obviously a candidate of a guy who needs to play 25, 30 minutes. No, you don't need to build him up to play 35 minutes, because any team that might be interested in trading for him, and yes, I realize that the possibility of that dwindles day by day leading up to the March 25th trade deadline, but still something to think about for this offseason as well. No team, no good team that could possibly make a deal for him is going to want him to play more than 30 minutes in the playoffs or any kind of situation. So for him to learn how to be effective in 25 to 30 minutes not only showcases him as good as possible, but prepares him for that next part of his NBA career coming up. Now, again, he had the acrobatic up and under and one in the fourth quarter, and we like to see that. But overall, it's just a shell of himself in the fourth quarter and in an overtime. And again, come overtime, I know that most coaches, you give your closers, and those are the guys that are going to play the extra five sessions. But this is the same team that just blew a 17-point lead and got you into that overtime. And those guys are the ones that lost that overtime as well. And I know that it's a long season, and later on this season, there's going to be probably a switch flipped right around the trade deadline. And then after that, we're going to have night after night of all the young guys getting all the minutes. We know that's coming, and we want that to come too. But sprinkle in some situations where the Pistons are still trying to win games right now this season. That locker room hopefully doesn't believe that this season is over and it's lost. So there is an urgency 100% to win this game. Play games against the Hawks team that needs to win to get 500. Go up against Trae Young. Go up against Clint Capella. Go up against John Collins. In real situations where that team's trying to win, put a Svi Mykhailiuk out there. Put a Sekou Doumbouya out there with the Blake Griffins, with the Jeremy Grants. Spell those guys a little bit. Stagger those minutes throughout the last few minutes of the fourth quarter and in overtime as well. Reward certain guys for looking good early in the game, maybe looking good in practice, and even out these minutes. Sekou Doumbouya has 5 minutes. He needs some time to develop. No, I don't want 30 minutes for him. But, yes, I do feel like it's important, even if you could just get him one more five-minute stretch in the second half. I think it's important for young guys to play that 4 or 5 minutes in the first half, get coached up by an assistant coach, talked about what they did right, what they did wrong, see if they can improve in the second half. For them to get buried throughout the entire second half like that, it's not really helping anyone. And I know that the writers are going to tell us that we don't know anything and you can't bench Blake Griffin. Look, nobody's asking to bench Blake Griffin. Nobody's asking and saying that we need to be playing the rookies and Saben Lee needs to be in an overtime. Because, look, I get it. The switch is going to flip at some point, and that is going to be all we get later on this season. We're going to get tired of that too at times. But those are going to be meaningless games when this entire locker room will be attuned to the reality that none of these games really matter all that much. And, man, as we're sitting here 14 games into the season, we are now, you know, we're not at 1/4 the way into the season or anything like that, but this is a pretty good chunk of this year. We don't know really how long this season's going to end up being, second of all, and really that last third of the season is going to be just that sad basketball. You're going to know it when you see it, and it's going to be some good moments, hopefully, for the young guys. We want those guys to be playing those minutes, but it's not going to have the urgency that a game this early in the season on the road in an environment that matters, in a game that matters to all the players on the court, as opposed to, you know, Pistons versus Cavs come April or whatever it's going to be, when it's a forgettable night for everyone involved and not much learning and teaching and growing is going to be done for a team that's going to be playing out the string at that point. So Dwayne Casey, we've asked for it before. We're just not getting it. I'm continuing to kind of fall off the Casey train. I've been the guy who's been defending this guy over the years. I think that this is a much different season than last year. If the Christian Wood minutes were getting jerked around like they were last year, and it was this season where you knew going in that this is a rebuild and kind of a tank situation, as opposed to hoping guys get healthy, hoping to get to the playoffs like the plan was last year, then I would have been kicking and screaming like a lot of you guys were about that during the first 2/3 of the season before Christian Wood really showed what he was capable of in that last third of the season. But, man, not happy with how things are going on the coaching front. And, yes, it's early in the season, but as we creep around and creep day by day here, it's not all that early anymore. Let's reward some guys who are doing some good work in practice and in games for short stints, and let's take a long, hard look at some of these veterans who are not getting it done, maybe as individuals and certainly as a group collectively, to close games. Just not happening, and we want to see something different. We were encouraged by the young guys earlier this season, but I think that tide has stemmed a little bit, and we want to see the development, and we want to see these guys make some mistakes, and if they lose the games, that's just fine with us. And I think a lot of you guys are probably with me on that one. But we got some news on one of the young guys, one of the cornerstones, hopefully, for this franchise, Killian Hayes. What's up with him, and what can we expect for his next several weeks? That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
It's Bang the Over Brother Brian, and I just wanted to make sure everyone was ready for some football. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. You want a little Super Bowl preview? Betonline.ag has all the opening lines and numbers for every possible Super Bowl matchup. The biggest favorite would be the Chiefs laying 3 against the Bucks, while the closest spread is a pick'em between those same Bucks taking on the Bills. Which game do they think will be the highest scoring? Well, that's tied at 55.5 with the Chiefs versus either the Pack or the Bucks, while the lowest scoring game would be the Pack and the Bills at 54.5. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
If you want to get basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today, wherever you get your podcast. But imagine my surprise when I was watching this game with the Pistons and the Hawks on Wednesday, and Onyeka Okongwu comes out. That's right. My son, the apple of my eye, enters in the first quarter. It didn't even really occur to me that he might be playing in this one. He actually made his season debut 4 or 5 days ago and then was out a couple games after that, apparently recovering after playing that first game and making sure he's in shape. So obviously, I thought even just him going out there in the first quarter, his legs looked a little heavy. It just seems like he's getting his legs under him a little bit. But he did play two shifts in this game, 14 minutes, did score a bucket. 2 of the 4 points that the Atlanta Hawks bench had, 119 scored by the starters. Of course, John Collins, Clint Capella, and Trey Young leading the way there. But Onyeka Okongwu, 1 of 3 from the field, 14 minutes in all, 6 rebounds and 3 blocks in this one for Onyeka Okongwu. So 3 blocks in that short period of time. And it just kind of stood out as he made those 3 blocks, because we look at this Pistons team, no rim protector presence whatsoever. And maybe that's a little bit by design. Mason Plumlee, even Isaiah Stewart, and then certainly Blake Griffin and Jahlil Okafor. Just no protection for the Pistons on the rim. The Hawks picked Onyeka Okongwu number 6. The Pistons were 7, so certainly there was no chance for the Pistons to take them. And no, I don't think that he was worth trading up for. But that was the guy that I kind of stuck with during this draft season throughout the hiatus that we had. I even had him ahead of the big three, the Edwards, Wiseman, and LaMelo Ball. I did have Wiseman. I felt like I was higher on him than most prognosticators out there, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. And all throughout the process, I did have Tyrese Haliburton just slotted slightly ahead of Killian Hayes. So I was disappointed on draft night when the Pistons did not take Tyrese Haliburton at number 7. But Killian Hayes was a pick that was all right with me, although he really, really struggled in his short time as the starting point guard for the Detroit Pistons. But the news came on Wednesday night after the Pistons have been kind of mum for over 2 weeks on this now that good news, bad news. He's going to be out for a while, so I guess that's the bad news. But the good news is that Killian Hayes apparently doesn't need surgery at this point for his hip injury. They're calling it a torn labrum in his right hip. That was January 4th that injury was suffered against the Milwaukee Bucks and Drew Holiday. The Pistons head physician had a look at all the x-rays and everything with Killian Hayes and two other specialists, Brian Kelly and James Rosneck in Cleveland. And if you're going for Brian Kelly and James Rosneck, you know that you're going for the best. But that group of physicians determined that the injury was a subluxation and didn't require surgery. So that would have ended Killian's season if he did have surgery. So for now, the Pistons are saying that they will rest and rehab him and take another look at him in 8 weeks. So not to say that he will return to the court in 8 weeks, but will be reevaluated after 8 weeks. So that puts you into March 20th or so, and still plenty of season left. I mean, you've got probably about 20 games left at that point. We don't know exactly what the second half of the schedule will look like and what kind of adjustments are made based on the COVID situation. Maybe some of that gets chopped off as time goes on. But, yeah, a handful of games, certainly at least 15 games or so, that Killian Hayes could potentially be available to play in. Obviously, the number one concern is his health, and you don't want him coming back before he's ready. But, yes, count me among those who think there would be quite a bit of value for him to return to the court this season and get some good taste in his mouth about how his rookie year went with the Detroit Pistons, get that confidence back. He looked like a kid that was overwhelmed and scared by the moment out there in his first few games, which is no fault of his own because he's a 19-year-old kid playing the NBA. Really no idea why the rules were changed for him. And he was a guy who the organization set up by giving the keys to the car starting on day one against that murderer's row of point guards who went up against those 10 games. But, hey, that's for other guys to try to explain away for this franchise. But that wraps up this edition of Locked on Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked on Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.